We all love a night out, right? You gotta get after it, you gotta get out. Maybe it's a date night, maybe it's something else. And we all love to do different things. Maybe it's seeing your favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. With Vivid Seats, a brand new sponsor here, you can attend the concert, the show, or sporting event of your choice and do so at a great price. Here's what I like about Vivid Seats. It is the top source for tickets for all the live events that you want to go to, and you can sort by price or look for the seats in the section and the row of your choice. And to make it even better, Vivid Seats is reaching out to you new customers and will give you a promo code, which will give you 10% off your first ticket order so you can save even more money. Here's what you do. You go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. First-time customers, make sure you use the promo code ROME and get 10% off your first Vivid Seats order. Every single purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Make sure you download that app and enter the promo code ROME and get 10% off your first order on Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime. Let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. Vivid Seats. This is a great company with an awesome proposition. Check it out yourself. Vivid Seats. I am live. I am in Southern California, and I am working from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. We start our third and final hour. I do want to talk more about the Red Sox and the Yankees and the fact that Angel Hernandez is behind the plate tonight. Not a good thing. Angel, if I were you, I would not go to Twitter. In fact, I would not go to the internet. I would not go on a computer. I would not look at your phone. I would not do any of those things. Yankees seem like they had momentum, and then the Red Sox hammered them last night. More on that. I've got thoughts on the Raiders, but before I do anything else, we are joined now by a reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter, the author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon, very good friend of this program, Jim Trotter is my guest. Jim, good morning. Good to have you back. How are you?
Romy, how you doing, man?
Good, good. Jim, how about you? How are things?
No complaints whatsoever, man. Life is good.
Good, good to hear it. All right, so you're a San Diego legend. So what was your reaction, Jim, when you saw Drew Brees break the all-time passing record last night?
Oh, at the risk of submitting my man card, I got a little misty-eyed when I saw him with his kids and whatnot. I just thought it was an incredible moment, and it couldn't have happened to a better guy. You know, I always go back to this story. Drew Brees.
That was me. Totally me. Lost that connection. It's a really good story, too. We need to reestablish that, and I will own that. I totally did that. I'm not sure. I have never done that, I don't think, in my entire life. I have never done that in my career. I wanted to hit the cough button, and I hit the hotline button, and I hung up on my guest. It was the first time for everything. Sorry about that, Jim. He's a reporter and a storyteller. Jim, I was saying I've never done that before. I literally just hung up on you when I hit the wrong button, and I've never done that. So my apologies to you. You had a great story locked and loaded about Drew Brees. Hit me with that.
No, Romeo, with this, two things here. One, number one, he may be the most unique athlete I've ever covered in terms of his singular focus in being great. I remember after he had the bad season in 03 and they make the deal to get Phillip Rivers. And covering the team at that time, I knew I was going to have to ask him about it. So I go down to the facility. He's in the parking lot on the other side of the fence. He knows what the drill is. Says, meet me inside. So I meet him inside, and I said, hey, you know, I got to ask you about them going out and getting Phillip. He says, I'm telling you this right now. This is my team. We're going to the playoffs, and I'm going to the Pro Bowl. Now, mind you, they hadn't had a winning season, I think, in like 7 years, and he had just been benched the previous year. Well, long story short, they have a winning season. They go to the playoffs, and he makes the Pro Bowl. So when the announcement was made, I went to him in the locker room. I said, hey, remember that conversation we had? He said, yeah. I said, you know, I thought you were delusional, right? And he looks at me and he smiles and he goes, I know. And that's just who he is. The more you tell him he can't do something, the more he's going to do it. He just has this singular focus to be great. And what he told his little boys after that game was so true. You know, if you work hard and you commit to something, anything is possible. And that's what he lives his life by.
Jim Trotter joining us. You know, watching that game last night, Jim, I tweeted something. I could never tell that story like that, but I did tweet that this guy is the ultimate pro, period, and that's what I meant. I've never seen a guy who is more of a professional athlete, more committed, more dedicated, and lots of guys are, but he truly is singularly focused and the consummate pro. Let me ask you this. For those who do not remember, what was the thought about Drew Brees around the league before he signed with the Saints?
That he might never play again. Remember, he was coming off that shoulder injury. He got hurt in the last game, his last game with the Chargers, in a meaningless game, diving for a loose ball. And I think it was John Lynch that landed on him. And basically, as it has been explained to me, if the labrum is a clock, his labrum was torn all the way around to 11 o'clock. And so there was doubt that he would ever play again by some people. And it's one of the reasons the Dolphins decided not to go forward when he was a free agent. And the Saints placed the faith in him and signed him. And they placed the faith in him in part because, let's be honest here, they didn't have anyone else. They were coming off Katrina. And what were they going to do? So they almost took a blind leap of faith that he was going to be okay. And it turns out that he was. And he's gone on to have this Hall of Fame career. But, again, I just couldn't have been more happy for him. And so to see him on the sideline with his kids and his wife, you know, the people who mean the most to him, and to deliver the message that he did to them, it's just, like I said, at the risk of turning my man card, I got a little misty-eyed watching it. I thought it was phenomenal, just an ultimate moment for him.
Jim Trotter, my guest. Well, he's 39 now, but he's on pace for another 5,000-yard passing season, which he does with regularity. Nobody else in history has done that more than once. He does it pretty frequently. How much longer can you see him playing?
Boy, in today's game, Jim, where quarterbacks don't get hit, and the rules are set up for offenses to do well, and knowing the way that he commits himself to his conditioning and his mental preparation and all that, I would say continue to play as long as he wants. I don't know that he will. I think he probably – look, let me say this. If they were to win the Super Bowl this year, would I be surprised if he walked away after that? Not one bit at all. I think that Drew understands his place in history. I think he understands what his accomplishments are, and doing the walk-off is something that I think a lot of players dream about. So that wouldn't surprise me at all. But how long could he play? As long as he wants at this point. He's got a head coach whose system and schemes he obviously is in tune with. There's talent there offensively for him to continue to do what he does. And, again, with the way that the rules have been set up now, I could see him playing again as long as he wants.
Jim Trotter joins us. Jim, in sad news, the Chargers announced this morning the passing of Alex Spanos. How are you going to remember him?
For me, it's more, I don't think football, I think family. This is a man who absolutely loved and adored his family. When I started covering the Chargers in 96, he had already relinquished day-to-day control of his club a couple of years earlier. But, you know, I had dealings with him and whatnot because, you know, he's from Stockton. He was born in Stockton, lives there. I went to high school in Stockton. In fact, went to high school right across the street from his home. So he always felt that there was this connection there. And I just remember every time he would talk about his kids or his grandkids or any time he was around them, those were the things that were most important to him. And, you know, I know a lot of people are going to focus on the fact that during the time that he was running the club, the day-to-day operations for a decade. They only had one winning season in a non-strike year during that time. But the reality also is he's the guy that brought in Bobby Bethard and Bobby Ross, and they're the ones who took this franchise to its only Super Bowl appearance ever. So you can remember the negative, but that was one of the positives. So I just think of a man who loved his family, who was committed to his family, very energetic, passionate, loyal. If you have time, I can give you a quick story about passion. So I think it's 2000s or whatever, but anyway, he had gone to the owners meetings and he had made a statement about the Chargers needing a new stadium after the city had committed money to renovate Qualcomm Stadium. So a columnist at the time of the San Diego Union Tribune, Nick Canepa, writes a column and he's critical of Alex for that. Well, the day the column comes out, we're all at the facility for the draft, and we're all hanging out in the lobby, and Mike Riley's there and whatnot, and Alex appears on the CU, takes me upstairs to the office, and I mean, he goes off on me, he gives it to me, you know, lets me have it, I let him say what he has to say, and I told him. I said, you know, Mr. Spanos, I understand. I said, but look, if you had said that to Nick in private, that's between you and Nick. I said, but you said it in a public setting. I have to report it. And he went on to say how he was disappointed in me because he's from Stockton, and I had gone to high school in Stockton and the like. But it showed me that that's how he thinks in terms of loyalty. And because he had even said to me, it's almost like, you know, you're part of the family, so to speak. And I'll never forget that because I could see in his eyes that he was genuinely hurt by that. Because in his eyes, because I had gone to high school in Stockton, he thought I was part of the family, you know, the extended family, so to speak. But that's kind of who he was. He was a guy that loyalty meant everything to him. Family meant everything to him, and he was a guy you always knew where you stood, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent. He was going to let you know what he was thinking and how he felt. That was my experience with
that. That's a great story, Jim. That is something else. Jim Trotter joining us. That really is a tremendous story. All right, I'm glad you shared that. Thanks for that. Listen, you were in Cleveland on Sunday for the Browns and their win over Baltimore. What did Baker Mayfield show you and how he handled a nasty, nasty Ravens defense?
Oh, a lot. I mean, look, you know, we know victories only count for one game in the standings, but to the Browns, that game counted for more than one victory because you have to understand it's easy. You know, Lorenzo Neal used to always say this to me, it's easy to be a soldier when there's no war. Well, it's easy to not get a true judge of what you have when things are easy, when you're going up and down the field and your uniform's clean and nobody's hitting you. But now you're in a game where you're playing, you know, the second-ranked defense, a defense that had dominated rookie quarterbacks over the last 10 years, and there's adversity and everything else, and you keep finding a way to make a play, to make it happen and whatnot. And so when I talked to, you know, Hugh Jackson and some of his teammates after, you know, that's what they talked about. This was a kid who didn't flinch, who didn't blink, was unfazed, and just kept finding ways to make a play. Because think about it, Jim. You've got a second and 21 from your five-yard line late in an overtime game, and yet you find a way to scramble for 13, and then with a rush in your face, you use your left arm to create space and throw back across your body and end up getting a long gainer that sets up the winning field goal ultimately. That's just kind of who Baker Mayfield is, and there's a different energy when he's on the field, and those guys believe it, and they believe they learn more about themselves facing that type of adversity and overcoming it as opposed to, say, winning a game 21-0 or something like that.
I think this guy's amazing. I'm blown away by this guy, and I saw what he did in college. I know his background. I know his story. I know he plays as well as he's played on the big stage. I'm amazed at the impact he's had on that team. And, Jim, it's not only just his teammates and the coach. Even Eric Weddle, a guy that you know very well, a guy I know pretty well, Eric Weddle went out of his way to find Mayfield after that game to praise him. What's it say when a guy like that goes that far out of his way to say that to Baker Mayfield?
Well, I'm with you, and I went and sought Eric out to ask him about that, and he looked at me and kind of smiled. He goes, hey, I've done it before. This is just the first time you've noticed it. Hmm. And I said, okay. But then I said, so what did you think? And then that's when he told me. He said, look, I respect the game. And he said, I respect good players, and he made some good plays against us. He said he also made some plays we didn't capitalize on, but he respects Baker Mayfield's game, and a lot of guys do. And I'll tell you a quick story, too, about his leadership. They're in Oakland the week before, and things aren't going well early. You remember he threw a pick six. And so Todd Haley, the offensive coordinator, is getting on Jarvis Landry about, hey, you're my veteran. You need to get these guys right, yada, yada, yada. And Baker walks over, and Baker says, shut up, you know, as if I've got this. And Todd Haley looks at him, and Todd doesn't like it. He loved it. And he told me, he said, this was this young guy taking control of the situation, taking control of that offense. And that's who Baker is, you know. He has already earned that kind of respect from his coaches and his players that they view him, even as a guy who's only five games into his career, as a guy who is now the leader of that offense, if not the leader of that team.
Jim Trotter, storyteller, joining us. Jim, for those who follow you, I'm going off the board now. Those who follow you on Twitter know that you have an amazing dog and know that she just suffered her second ACL injury. How is she doing right now, and what is the rehab process like?
I appreciate you, Romy. It's tough, man. We're actually going to see the surgeon today for follow-up visit. We're 10 days out. What happened? She tore her first one, and she had surgery in June, and they tell you at the time when you tear one, there's a very high probability you're going to tear the other. So I tried to be really diligent and slow with the rehab process, not take any chances, and she loves the ocean. We hadn't been there 4 months, so I took her back, and what happened? One of the currents gets her, and she tears the other ACL. So it's a 2 to 3 month rehab process. We're in it, and the most frustrating part is for her is that when you have an active dog, you know, they want to get out and get going, and they think they're healthy, and you've got to try and slow them down, which either means, as the vets will tell you, you have to give them some sedatives or, you know, make sure you keep them in a confined space. And my dog's just not used to being confined, so it's tough, but we'll get through it. I appreciate you asking.
Absolutely, Jim. I know how that goes. I mean, if you're an animal lover, I know you are. We are. I've talked about the horse that we lost, but we've had dogs. We've had cats. Man, it's terrible. It's heartbreaking. But the spirit in the animal is so amazing, right? They just keep coming. Oh, they keep coming.
It's incredible. Like, she's like my shadow. Wherever I go, she goes. Even, you know, my wife always says to me, have you ever had a woman chase you like this before? I'm like, no, I haven't. So and I said, I don't know that I want another one to do it. So, but wherever I move, she moves. And man, Jim, you know this, being an animal lover. It's just, it's an unconditional love, man. And I don't even know how to put it into words. I just know, you know, when you're away from them, you miss them. And when you get home, you can't get enough of them. So I just want to get her healthy and be able to get back out in the water. And now we don't have to worry about ACLs anymore. So it's all good.
Good, man. Those who know, know. Jim Trotter, reporter, storyteller for NFL Media, a Hall of Fame voter. And again, if you have not picked up his book, you should. Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. Good friend of the program. Jim, so good to have you on. Always great talking to you. You know I appreciate you very much.
No, brother, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Jim. Always good to talk to you. Jim Trotter, animal lovers know what that's like. That is heartbreaking. That is heartbreaking. But, man, they've got so much strength. I could do a show on that, too. You know, without even bringing up shared belief. We had a cat once. Janet had a cat that brought to the relationship. This cat was Allie, a little Persian cat, and she was so awesome. I mean, literally, I'll say it. The cat was my best friend in the whole world. The cat literally was my best friend. I come home one day, and the cat is dragging her back feet. Dragging her back feet. I took this cat to the vet, and I said, you got to fix that cat. You got to fix that cat. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what you have to do. We'll fly that cat to Paris for experimental cat surgery. You fix that cat. I do not care what it costs. Whatever it costs, you've got to fix that cat. And he said, there's really not much we can do. We can give the shot, the cat a shot of cortisone. I said, will that help? He said, probably not. Maybe for 30 days. And the cat got the injection, and the cat was good for like 5 more years. And it never came back, and it was never an issue again. So I understand that. Hawk, I understand that. I will say it for the record. I mean, I would never get... The cat was my best friend. This cat was my best friend. This cat lived to be 18. I love this cat. Man, I love this cat. I think I love this cat more than anybody outside my immediate circle. And probably more so than that. But I would never get a tattoo of the cat, Hawk. But I love the cat. So, Jim, I feel you. I understand. Animal lovers know. All right, when we come back, we are open the rest of the way. I've got lots of content to get to. Good content that I've got to get to. I want to talk more about the Yanks and Red Sox. I want to talk about the Raiders. Yeah, they've got their one win, and they should have none. And John Gruden keeps saying John Gruden-type things. RPO5. My man Trevor Price not getting the run he deserves. He's going to get it when we come back. Stay tuned. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
So what was your favorite part of the interview? Where I hung up on my man, Jim Trotter? Or where my man, Jim Trotter, got off some profanity and it somehow slipped through and got on the air on TV? Allegedly. At Salahandro tweets, the next time that Rex calls in, quote, try to hit the cough button. Thanks in advance. Regards 51% of the clones. The buttons in question, I've got no excuse. That's totally on me. 100% on me. I hung up on a guest. and not for something he said, but because I hit the wrong button. The buttons are right next to each other. But that's 100% on me. I've never hit the wrong button like that before. I hung up on a guest mid-sentence because I hit the wrong button. At Rocky's expert tweets, cool it with the cat talk. Hawk is banging down the door to get on and talk about Griffey. No! Yeah, Jim Trotter said, I might have to turn in my man card, but I got a little dusty, got a little misty watching Drew Brees and his kids on the field when he got that record. Hey, listen, man card or not, I've owned it. We have cats. I've got two cats. I love cats. I'm an animal guy. I'm secure enough to say it. I love dogs. I love horses. I love cats. And not one of those weird animal people who's like, man, I hate people, but I love my cat. I'm not saying that. I love people. I love animals. And then going back to the profanity, at John Worcester tweets, Mr. Trotter, in this house, we say butthole. Signed, the CBS censors. I don't know. I've got a feeling that the CBS censors probably do not appreciate butthole either.
Butthole.
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 But probably appreciate that more than the other blast that my man got off. The thing is, in Jim Trotter's defense, two things. That word, although I don't use that word on the show, it's used on other shows. Like my guys, Kevin and Bean, a couple of legends on K-Rock in Los Angeles. These guys, like the best to ever do it. Literally, the best to ever do it in the mornings. They have an amazing show, and I'm on their show for a long time. Those guys let that loose all the time. They go with that all the time. So you can do it on some shows. Also, in defense of Jim Trotter, that story does not work without that word. I mean, literally, that was the whole thing. Not the entire thing. The gist of the story we could get without the word, but you almost need that word to tell that story the way he did. At Jeff from the 919, also on Twitter, says, how'd you like that a-hole blast, you little nerd? Better be quicker on the trigger, son. Signed, Jim Trotter to Alvy and CBS.
You tell that little nerd, Alvin, to do his job and give me a golden ticket for crying out loud.
Quote, that little nerd did his job. Quote, that little nerd? You mean the one who won a state championship playing point guard? That little nerd did his job and was on the button. He got it. In case you missed it, Alvin, can you run that back?
And Alex appears on the landing up above, and he sees Nick, and he yells out to him, I shouldn't say yell, but very loudly says, asshole, and he turns around and walks back in.
Alvin did his job. He got it. He did his job. All right, so tweet deck lighting up with Jim Trotter coming in to tell that story about Alex Spanos. All right, then. Give me a timeout. When we come back, Raider Nation, let's talk. Got a conversation for you, Raider Nation, when we return. Also, my final thoughts on the Yankees and Red Sox before they get it on tonight. That's next. Stay tuned. I want to talk about the RPOF5 if I can get to it. If you're not listening, you're losing a good opportunity to get paid. Trevor Price, picking against the spread, had last night's game. He is above 500 on the season. All of this still ahead. Have we taken a phone call today? I don't think we have. Somebody want to snap that streak? Somebody want to come in here and get racked? Somebody want to come in here and rip a golden ticket? Never too soon to think about the 25th annual SmackDown next summer. Stay tuned. Here is your sports update. Jay Berman has this one. Pretty tough for me to have a huge call when I haven't taken any of your calls. So, you can get in here right now. 1-800-636-8686. This email reads, Dear Jim, I am a big WWE fan. And now I am definitely going to start cheering for Gallows and Anderson. I would have started rooting for them sooner, but I don't think they've won a match in like 3 years. Brett from Bugaha, were the Undertaker calling in and getting run for a Grizzly Man rest in peace blast. Hey, Brett, pretty clear to me why you're hating on these guys. Not because, quote, they haven't won a match in 3 years, but because they come out of nowhere and they get huge jungle run when you come in here every single day and you get no respect from anybody. Don't hate, bro. Don't hate. Don't hate because you can't do what they're doing. Don't hate because you can't replicate. Don't hate because you can't duplicate. Dude, just stop trying. I would tell you to do better, but I know you can't. Just stop trying and stop hating. At Patasour. Hey, Rome, I know I'm pitching tonight, but I would gladly switch roles with Angel Hernandez. I would love to be behind the plate. Every plate, really. Signed, CC Safatia. John in Huntington Beach. Unwore pervs that get their hair cut at Sports Clips. It's a really bad email, John. Did you not hear my take on CeCe last week? And Rome, unless Gruden's fat ass is trading away another all-pro talent, like maybe his quarterback to my team, I don't care what the dude has to say or does anymore. I'm just waiting for the inevitable breakup. War Gruden arriving to Vegas and saying, you know this place is nice and all, but how about we relocate to Little Rock, the meth capital of the world? Dan in Denver, RTN. Again, Dan in Denver has had some kind of crazy comeback on this show, and I have no idea why. Mostly it's based, in fact, it's entirely based, and the juxtaposition is Gruden shows up, the Raiders go into the tank, and all of a sudden John or Dan's content gets much better. Hey, Dan, are you looking at your Broncos? Are you looking at what happened to them? Are you looking at what the Jets did to them? A little misdirection. How many of you watched that game last night? I thought two things. Watching that game last night, I thought, one, Drew Brees is amazing. Amazing. Everything about this guy is amazing. And two, I thought about my man Scotty Farrell. Every time I see something bad happen to the Redskins, I think about my guy Scotty Farrell.
I hope you're in your car listening to me right now, you fat ass. You are despicable. Because you just let that happen to your star quarterback. And don't tell me you know more than me because you're some head coach. You're an idiot. You're a moron. No one, I don't care who you are. No one does that to a star player in the NFL except you, you loser.
Hashtag freaking iconic. One of the most iconic drops in the history of sports talk radio. So watching that game last night, I thought two things. Drew Brees is a stud. And Scotty Farrell.
Fat ass.
Beeks in Studio City. Hey, Beeks, I saw you last night getting a retweet from Scott Fujita. I'm telling you, the clones showing up in a big way. All of them except Brett. Beeks tweets, can you also hit the cough button during Chael Sonnen's next smack-off call? Thanks. No, I want to see if Chael tries the same thing 3 years in a row. And I won't know if I hit the, quote, cough button. What up, Beeks? 818 for life, bro. Hey, Beeks, where do you hang out in Studio City? Stanley's?
For life.
Jerry's Deli. Got to go there, man. You know that. Studio City is about as good as it gets in the 818. That's a good spot. Raider Nation, listen. It's not like I roll out of the rack every single morning looking for a way to kill your squad or your head coach. The problem is your dude will not keep his trap shut. If I were the head coach of a 1-4 football team that stole its only W thanks to a totally whack call, I think I'd keep my head down. My head down, my mouth shut, my grind on level 11. But apparently that's not Chuck Gruden style. Yeah, I'm sure the alarm still goes off at 3:17 a.m. every single morning. But these days, instead of firing up the film room and checking out the All-22, apparently, he's firing up the interwebs, looking for the next lava take that he can lay out. Because how else do you explain this dude's act right about now? It's almost like Chuck still thinks that he gets paid to give his opinion. Buy this beer, eat these wings, and listen to this absolutely whack take that Mount St. Gruden unleashed yesterday. Quote, "It starts with pressuring the quarterback. We've got to get more pressure on the quarterback. We've got to force him to make some bad decisions, to make that guy unload the ball when he doesn't want to. We've got to disrupt the timing." End quote. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
It's pretty tough to do that when you took your Hall of Fame pass rusher and you sent him to Chicago, where he's doing exactly that every single time he puts his knuckles in the dirt. You had a guy who was a one-man wrecking crew on your roster leading your freaking locker room. He was a pressure cooker. He was Mr. Bad Decision. He was the guy who gets quarterbacks to unload the ball when they don't want to. He's the human embodiment of a timing disruptor. And the minute that dude was looking to make fair market value, you basically made shipping him out of town priority number one. And you almost wonder if Grudes didn't even realize what he had. Mike Silver got this amazing quote from Chuck last weekend before the Raiders heisted that W against the Browns. Grudes was scrolling through his phone, checking scores, and stumbled upon the latest hell-raising that Khalil Mack was doing for a Bears team that leads the NFC North. Gruden said, quote, "Damn, Khalil Mack had another strip sack. Are you kidding me?" End quote. Hey, Chunk, Mark Davis turned his balance sheet upside down and maxed out his Southwest Airlines Rapid Rewards card so he could win football games, not hear your whack takes. The only thing worse than your takes is the style of football that your team is playing. Listen to this from my man Trevor Price on yesterday's RPO podcast when I asked him what he thought and how he felt watching the Silver and Black.
"That's the most boring football team I've ever seen in my life. I don't understand how you have John Gruden, Beast Mode, Silver and Black, and they are milquetoast. The team doesn't have an identity. And I'm going to tell you why. You know, John Gruden is a head coach. There's no question about it. He's a football mind, but he's a celebrity first. Those last, you know, 10 years doing Monday Night Football, it was like hiring Kim Kardashian to coach your football team. Even though he won a Super Bowl and he was a great head coach, it's still a level of celebrity. It's almost like Mark Davis picked whatever's going to sell tickets rather than what's going to make our football team really good."
This isn't some guy who just got like a mic app and fired up the iPhone. That guy played 14 years in the NFL. That's a two-time Super Bowl winner saying that's a boring, bleeping football team. He called them, quote, "the most boring, bleeping football team I have ever seen in my life." And he called John Gruden a freaking Kardashian. Shut it down. Let's go home. Shut it down, let's go home. One problem with that, the Raiders can't. Not when there's 9 years, 11 months, and approximately $98 million left on this dude's 10-year contract. Chuck better figure it out quickly. Because the only thing worse than this dude's takes are the results that he's getting on the field.
Hindsight, 50-50.
Hindsight is 50-50, Chuck. Hindsight is 50-50.
Khalil Mack didn't want to play here.
Nobody wants to be an armchair shortstop. Hindsight's 50-50.
You have to ask Reggie.
Just pushing dudes under the bus, making things up, taking no responsibility for anything. And you know, there's more of that where that came from with Trevor Price. All right, one more thing before the Yankees and Red Sox get it going tonight. I want to go back to last night's game for 1 minute. Yes, I understand the theory that Luis Severino was late starting his warm-up and that maybe, possibly, he didn't know what time the game started. I mean, there's no way that's true, right? There is no way that's true. There's absolutely no way that it's possible for an all-star pitcher to forget or not know what time a postseason game starts, right? And even if that was the case, and I have a hard time believing it, but even if it were the case, Aaron Boone bears some of the responsibility for not getting this guy earlier than he did. The warning signs were already there in the first inning when the Red Sox hitters were tagging this guy's pitches. Just because they didn't score in the first doesn't mean they didn't do damage in the first. Did you hear what I just said? It's an important point. Just because they didn't score in the first does not mean they did not do damage in the first. Maybe if you think about getting him earlier than you did, maybe you can use that bullpen and stay in that game and stay in the series. Or you can leave him out there too long and have a backup catcher pitch the ninth inning of a post game. That's cool, too. Do that, and you might as well just bump "We All Love the Red Sox" in Yankee Stadium, because that was a fight that broke out at the bat rack and a party at the plate for the Sox. And yet somehow the Yankees might not have actually had the worst performance of anybody in Yankee Stadium last night. That honor, in fact, is probably going to go to first base umpire Angel Hernandez, who had not one, not two, not three, four calls at first base go to instant replay in the first four innings, and three of them were overturned. Four. Look, I'm not here to bash umpires, but do you know how awful you have to be to have four of your calls go to instant replay in the first four innings and then to have three of them reversed? Again, I don't know if Angel Hernandez is on Twitter, but if he is, I would strongly urge him to delete that app from his phone, because he was taking a worse beating than even the Yankee pitching staff. Former MLB-er Paul LaDuca, quote, "How Angel Hernandez is still umpiring, let alone the playoffs, is unreal to me. He is far the worst umpire in the league every year." It's Paul LaDuca. Pedro Martinez got in on the act during the postgame show saying, quote, "Oh, Angel is horrible. Don't get me going on Angel now. Major League Baseball needs to do something about Angel. It doesn't matter how many times he sues Major League Baseball. He's as bad as there is." End quote. Joel Sherman capped it off with some pretty sobering information as well. Quote, "If any player performed like Angel Hernandez tonight, he would be in jeopardy of being benched. Hernandez gets home plate in a playoff game tomorrow." Awesome. Can't wait to have some of that glorious incompetence behind the plate in an elimination game. At least that's not an important position or an important game. That's happening tonight. And, oh, that's right, CC Sabathia has history with Angel Hernandez, and it's not good. And he's got the start to keep their season alive. And Hernandez is the guy behind the plate. Should be interesting. Got to get to the huge call. No matter how big or small your team is, Ferguson has a winning game plan for pro contractors. With thousands of plumbing repair parts, knowledgeable associates, and the largest national footprint in the game, when the pressure is on, count on Ferguson.
He had gone to the owners' meetings and he had made a statement about the Chargers needing a new stadium after the city had committed money to renovate Qualcomm Stadium. So our columnist at the time, I'm at the San Diego Union-Tribune, Nick Canepa, writes a column, and he's critical of Alex for that. Well, the day the column comes out, we're all at the facility for the draft, and we're all hanging out in the lobby, and Mike Riley's there and whatnot. And Alex appears on the landing up above, and he sees Nick, and he yells out to him, I shouldn't say yell, but very loudly says, "Asshole," and he turns around and walks back in. Well, I'm the beat writer, so I've got to report it, and I do. And the next day, I show up before anyone gets there, and all of a sudden, security guard comes and says, "The owner wants to see you." Takes me upstairs to the office, and I mean, he goes off on me. He gives it to me, you know, lets me have it. I let him say what he has to say, and I told him. I said, "You know, Mr. Spanos, I understand." I said, "But look, if you had said that to Nick in private, that's between you and Nick." I said, "But you said it in a public setting. I have to report it." And he went on to say how he was disappointed in me because he's from Stockton and I had gone to high school in Stockton and the like. But it showed me that's how he thinks in terms of loyalty. And because he had even said to me, it's almost like, you know, you're part of the family.
I think we did real good. Good s***.
Jim Trotter, NFL Network reporter, storyteller, NFL media. Here's your huge call. My thanks to him. Also, Colorado Buffalo's head coach, Mike McIntyre. Spencer Paysinger, former NFL linebacker, has got a show coming out on the CW. And you clones, thank you very much. Appreciate you listening. Have a tremendous day. We're back at it again tomorrow. Lots to get done. We're talking Major League Baseball. Yankees, Red Sox. Let's see how that plays out. Appreciation to the XR4TI crew for doing their deal on the other side of the glass. You have a tremendous Tuesday, and we'll see you.